chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Some say this is a choir of angels, and these words are the first Christmas carol. It may well be, because in verse 13, the phrase "praising God" can mean sung praise. And it fulfills, of course, the words in Hebrews, "When he bringeth in his first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." They did, and of course so should we. However, you'll notice in verse 13, we read that the angels were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest," and so on. And that word "saying" means with words, to teach. So these angels are instructing us. We should hear them as preachers rather than as singers. God sent them not only to announce, but to teach us about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we listen to this. These are messengers from heaven. You don't often get messengers from heaven to teach, but such is the great event, the historic, unrepeatable, and so all-surpassing event as the birth of Jesus Christ. It's announced from heaven. What are they saying, these angels? What are they saying to us about the birth of the Saviour? Well, we can answer by noticing from these verses the following. First of all, there is a higher world than the world we live in. Because in verse 14, their words are, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." They're speaking about heaven and earth. And the simple truth is that there is another world above this earth. And this historic visit of the angels and their annunciation and their teaching shows this. You can see it if you look at the passage, verse 8. We read that these shepherds were looking after their flock at night time in the darkness. The angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And then in verse 15 we read, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. So they came from heaven and they went back to heaven. So there is this upper world, this other world beyond this, inhabited by the angels. And sometimes they break into this world, draw the veil apart, as it were, reveal themselves to announce exceptional and glorious things. The psalmist in Psalm 73 and verse 25, he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none that I desire upon earth beside thee." You see, heaven and earth, it's a reality to real Christians. In other words, dear friends, we do not live in a closed system, as if this present life is just a box in which we are enclosed and there is nothing higher, nothing above this. John Lennon might well have said, "Imagine there is no heaven, above us only sky." But that's atheism. That's godlessness. The truth is that there is a heaven as surely as there is an earth. There is this upper world where God has his habitation and his throne, inhabited by angels and the glorified Christians and God's people who are now there. And there is this lower world that we belong to and are most used to. But you see, God is above ruling this world. Everything is subject to his government and his throne, including us all. Glory to God in the highest place, heaven, as well as on earth. And these angels are his messengers sent to proclaim the birth of his son, now become a baby to grow up as a man. And God's servants, these angels, are at his beck. Psalm 103, verse 20. His angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Usually they are invisible. They're everywhere, doing God's will, but more in the background, invisibly. Sometimes they become visible on certain occasions, as here. There is a higher world. Oh, my dear friend, don't live for this world only. Those who live for this world only are not prepared to depart and enter eternity. As well as a higher world, heaven, there's a lower world, hell, for unbelievers and unsaved people who die in their sins. But this heaven, the angels have come from it to speak of one who has come from heaven, from the Father, to take a people, a saved people, that they might behold his glory in heaven one day. There is a higher, better world than this. You'd think that this would be good news today, wouldn't you? This world, this earth, groaning under the ravages of the fall and of sin and of wickedness and of suffering and of death and of misery and everything that sin has brought in its wake. To know there is a better world to come. Well, it takes more than the knowledge of a better world to convert people and prepare them for this world, as we shall see. But there is a higher world. And then secondly, there is a glory given. Glory to God in the highest. And it tells us that the great, great purpose in God sending his son was for the glorification of his own name. And of all that God has ever done, either in heaven or in earth, this work is his highest glory. Now, what is it to glorify God? Well, it's to acknowledge, like these angels, that he is glorious. It is what the Bible calls the glory due unto his name. When we give God glory, when the angels give glory to God, it's not that anyone can ever add anything, for he is infinite, all-sufficient, glorious in himself. We're simply making it known in acknowledgement. We're declaring that glory, saying we believe it, saying it is true, saying he deserves it, like these angels do, the glory due unto his name, that he is divine, that he is infinite, that he is majestic, that he is splendid, that he is eternal, unchangeable, all-wise, gracious, merciful, holy, just, all the superlatives with which he reveals himself in the Bible, we adoringly proclaim from full hearts, and therefore it's his declarative glory that we give him, making it known to heaven, to earth, to hell. He is worthy of the highest glory. Everything that God does is to show forth this glory. Romans 11, And verse 36, of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen, says the Apostle Paul as he breaks out into this doxology in the Spirit. And like all the rivers and the streams that flow towards the sea, so everything God does is for the glorifying of his name, in creation and in providence and in redemption here. But this is the highest of all. Glory to God in the highest sense, in the highest and most magnificent and greatest possible sense. For all his works that he has ever done are all outdone by the giving of his Son and the providing of salvation in him. But you see, this reminds us of our need. Because what is human sin? It is not to give glory to God. Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see that sin is not just doing wrong things. It's rebellion against God. And it's refusal to glorify him in believing and obedience and love and service like these angels. We are a disgrace to God. We dishonor and besmirch his name. And of course it outrages his holiness. It offends his justice. It provokes him to judgment. Of course it does. When angels glorify him, and even the lower creation in fulfilling its function glorify him, and yet we deliberately withhold that. They glorified him not as God. It was said of a certain heathen king in the Old Testament, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? You see, that's true, isn't it, of us by nature? The God who holds our breath in his very hand, gives us each breath and heartbeat, holds our soul in life, is the author of our being through our human parents, and who has blessed us all our lives long, and the one who is good to us is the one we ignore, live without, reject, go our own way from, make gods of our own, of material things, things of this world, sinning, breaking his commandments, dishonoring him, refusing to give him glory. That's the indictment, isn't it? Hast thou not glorified? Are you like that this morning? Ungodly. You may be believing, but you only believe in God like a criminal believes in the judge in the courtroom. But there's no receiving of anything in terms of forgiveness or dealing with your guilt, putting you right with him. There's no belief in his dear Son to save your soul, receiving Jesus as your Savior without God, without hope in the world. It's a very solemn thing to live without God. And those people in the Bible we read of, some of them are suddenly awakened to the horrific fact that life was ending now, and they weren't ready. That man in Luke chapter 12, that farmer who was very wealthy and was looking forward to a prosperous retirement, on the very eve of that retirement, after he'd said, Thou hast goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shall, who shall those things be then that thou hast acquired? Can't take it with you. Got to leave it behind. The soul leaves the body, enters eternity to face God, unprepared, dying in one's sins, never glorifying God, and now must go to hell in judgment to glorify his justice in eternal punishment forever and ever. God will have glory one way or the other. What a solemn thing. There is a higher world. There is a glory given to God. But that finds us out this morning, perhaps. You can see it here even. Look at this scene. You see the shepherds. And these are decent men. We don't know if they were believing men, but they were decent men. And in verse 9, as soon as the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord reveals itself to them, they were sore afraid because they were not prepared. They were suddenly overtaken with this glory of God, the reality of God, and their sin, their unworthiness. They're frightened. You find this happens any time in the Bible. When God breaks through a little, or an angel visits, something of that holy heaven comes into this earth, and people feel unprepared and frightened. When Isaiah in chapter 6, he's had that vision of the Lord in all his glory, and the angel singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth full of his glory. He said, woe is me, I am undone, I am a sinful man, a man of unclean lips. Convicted of the fact that with his lips, his speech, he has sinned probably more than in any other way. Glory given. See our need here. As hopeless sinners, can't change our own hearts, can't begin to love God of ourselves, have a bad record we have to give account for, and a wicked heart, a godless heart, and an account to give to this God. Oh, there is glory given, but it's not a glory that we have given. That is our need. Let me say in the last place, there is not only a higher world and a glory given, there is a distance bridged, because the angels go on to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now that doesn't mean, like it's so often quoted as meaning in a sentimental way, well, peace on earth, we've got to live in peace together, we've got to be full of goodwill to each other at this season. Doesn't mean that on a horizontal level. That will be the fruit of it. But this is the meaning. On earth. This is where we sinners are. In our need. And this is where God's Son came. On earth. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And Mary brought forth her firstborn, and Jesus came forth to be the Saviour. And this is God being kind to us, goodwill toward men. The God of heaven who has been offended by us is the God who wants to be good to us and show goodwill toward us. And it's in the gift of his Son that he has shown the greatest goodwill. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, what it means is that when our Lord grew up, and at 33 years old, having lived a perfect life of obedience that we have never lived, having glorified God in his life, every second, every moment, without sin, and wholly righteous and pure and lovely and perfect. And he was nailed to the cross by wicked hands. The Jews called out for it. The Romans executed it. But that was only the human side. There was a transaction going on. God the Father was doing this to his Son. God the Father was charging his innocent Holy Son with the sins of all who would believe on him. Charging him, making him responsible, making him, as the scripture says, to be sin for us. That is, constituted the great sin bearer and substitute and sacrifice. And God pouring down his wrath upon his Son, who was bearing the punishment, the eternal consequences of sinners in their place. And he cried out, I thirst, the fires of God's wrath burning him up. Forsaken me. God not able to look upon sin as his Son was bearing all that sin of all his people. And then, it is finished. God, to his own eternal satisfaction, has exhausted his wrath and his judgment upon another. And all that his believing people have done, Jesus has paid the price for in their place. And the good will of God is that provision of reconciliation with God. Because you see, he is saying in effect that he is loving sinners more than his Son. At this point, prepared to do this to his Son in order to save guilty, unworthy sinners. He's saying that sinners are worth the death of his incarnate Son. This is amazing love. Extraordinary. Astonishing love. And then look. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. God has laid the ground of peace. The ground of peace with himself, whereby he can be reconciled to us. At peace with us. Colossians 1 verse 20, peace through the blood of his cross. That's the gospel. Those sheep that the angels, the shepherds were looking after, they may well have been sheep that were looked after, ready to be used in the sacrifices of the temple. These sheep were going to be put to death in the place of guilty people. The last, perhaps, the very last sacrifices, because they were only types and shadows pointing to the reality in Christ, the Lamb of God, who is to take away the sin of the world. And this is how now we can be right with God. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God is willing and able to bless us, to give us free pardon and reconciliation with himself. Who's this for? Well, the first people to hear it are these ordinary men, often despised men, shepherds. But verse 10, which shall be to all people. You could be among those people this morning. If you're not saved, this could be for you. For Christ has died for sinners as sinners. And the gospel invites you this morning to come to Jesus Christ as you are in all your guilt and deserving of condemnation. And he and God will put to you the benefit of his Son's finished work, and he will save you through Christ. The Bible says that the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is but a prayer between you and a gracious God who will save you in his Son this morning. God will be your best friend. He will have goodwill toward you. He'll blot out all that record against you. He'll remove your guilt, cancel the sentence upon you. He'll reconcile you. And he'll be at peace with you. And oh, the joy of knowing that sins are forgiven. The load of guilt is taken away. I'm not going to be condemned. I'm going to heaven. Christ is my Savior. We read of another instance of angels singing. Jesus says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There could be another angel chorus. There can be another rejoicing in heaven, like the first when our Lord was born. Every sinner that is brought to God causes joy in heaven. Do you realize that? Everyone who's converted, heaven reverberates with the good news that another sinner has been brought home, saved through the blood, the finished work of Christ. Where are you this morning in regard to this? There is a higher world, my dear friend. Not only this world, a higher world. And there is a glory given to God who deserves it. But oh, we who have failed, there is a distance bridged. And there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Come to Jesus Christ as you are. Cast yourself at his feet. Pray and ask him to save you. See if he will not save you, even this morning. And be that Savior for you. And you will be right with God. And you will rejoice with the angels and with heaven. That you're saved. You're converted. You're a new person. God has given you a new heart. A new life. A new beginning. A new future. A new destiny. In that higher world. Where you will give glory now and then. And oh, you will rejoice. Jesus is the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. May you know these blessings this morning. These blessings not only for today but all through the year and forever. Amen.